Well, this morning, before we go into our Thanksgiving part of our service, I want to plant three pictures inside of you as we go in that I am praying the Holy Spirit will just grasp your mind, grab your heart. I pray coming out of today that you will not forget these. How many of you are open to kind of go outside your boundary? How many of you are wanting to grow? You're wanting to go outside your comfort zone. Just raise your hand, would you? Yeah. How many of you are like this? How many of you are stuck and you don't want to grow? Appreciate that. Everybody under 20 and one over 90. Thank you, Dennis. That was awesome. You're not 90, are you? No, I didn't think so. Well, I want to give you a picture. One of them you know. A couple of them you might be familiar with. I need 10 people to join me up here. Just 10 people randomly. You can come up here. If you don't, I will call you by name and bring you up. We got one. We got two. I need eight more. Eight more. Seven. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One. Awesome. Karen is coming. That is great. If I can have all of you in this side right over here, all of you can kind of bundle up over there. I want to give you a picture, and you know this incredibly well. When Jesus was on earth, there was one day, it says, that he was coming out of Jerusalem, and he was walking along the border between Israel and Samaria. That is the line of the half-Jews and the Jew people, so he wasn't going in there this time. And as he was coming along, as he was going down, all of a sudden he came to a place where there were a group of 10 what? Lepers, exactly right. Now, none of this reflects any of these people this morning. 2, 4, 6, 8. Where's my 2? My math is off. I need 2 more lepers. I'll give you 3 seconds and I'm calling you out. One more. I need one more. Paul, that's awesome. Come on, leper. You're too brown to be a leper, but that's good, though. That is good. 10 lepers that he met along the way. What do we know about the lepers? They were outcasts. They couldn't be around people. They had to call unclean, unclean, the whole deal. Jesus is walking down and just going by them, and all of a sudden, the lepers begin crying out what? Have mercy on us. Have mercy. Now, I got to tell you something. Nobody touched a leper. Okay? So even in that time, it's interesting that Jesus did not touch. I got to tell you, we've talked about this before. One of the things I love doing the most when we went to Africa, when we went on the mission, is we went to the untouchable villages. And what we did is we went and we touched and we touched and we touched and we touched. I love that. Jesus touched people when he was here on earth that nobody else touched you stay away from. Can I tell you? In the flesh you run, in the spirit you move in and touch. This time he didn't touch them, but I'll tell you, here's Jesus. There's the lepers. They cried out to him, have mercy. Jesus said this. He said, you guys go, show yourself to the priests, and you will be healed. What did they do? All 10 of them. They took off back to their chairs. All 10, you go. Except for one. Karen, except for one. Except for one. You look like a leper. No, you don't. But I want you to get this. All 10 of them took off, and they were running. They were all running. And in the midst of the run, something happened inside of the one. They weren't in a wheelchair, but they stopped. And they turned around and they came back to where Jesus was. And what did they do? I'm not going to ask Karen to do this. The leper ran up. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. He clasped his feet and he began to worship him and to praise him. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why did the 9, and this is what Jesus said. He goes, weren't there 10 of you? He wasn't expecting the one leper to answer the question, because how do you answer for what someone else did? 9 of them took off and never came back. Jesus kind of expected that there would be 10 coming back in Thanksgiving. Only one did. I want to ask you really quick. What is it that makes people not thankful? What does it make them so that they don't come back? What is it so that when God pours out his blessing on people, they forget about it and they keep on going, they get lost in the gift and they forget about the giver? I want to ask you, what makes people ungrateful? Don't answer out loud. What we're more concerned about is the one who turned around. Instead of running to the priest, he was actually disobedient to what Jesus said. He turned around and he came back again when he realized that he was healed, and he began to give thanks and worship. Now, I want you to answer this one. Why did this one do that? What's inside of a person that in the midst of blessing, in the midst of goodness, in the midst of all that pours out, what is it inside of somebody that stops everything they're doing and they take the time and they go to the source of their goodness and they begin to worship? What makes a person do that? I want you to think about this for a second. And I'm not sure, this isn't in the Bible, but you can't tell me it's not in the Bible. When one turned around, there was only 10% of people who were grateful. 90% ran away and they were not grateful. I was thinking about that this week when the Lord and I were just preparing for today. And I thought, Lord, is that really what we got going on in the world and even in the church? You got 90% of people that God is pouring out his goodness on the sinner, on the righteous and the unrighteous, pouring out. 90% are not thankful at all and don't come back and acknowledge. 10% are coming to God and going, God, thank you. We acknowledge you. You are the source. You're the one who did it. I'm worshiping you. That is my response for my goodness. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you know some people who are incredibly blessed, and yet they are the most ungrateful, critical? They can see everything negative. The sky is falling. Their cup is half empty. And here's the kicker. They're even believers. Ungrateful to the core. And you kind of want to slap them and take them to the streets of Calcutta or in India or whatever and go, just wake up. And I remember hearing years ago, they said, you got to take every teen to a mission field to the third world to bring them back and make them thankful for what they have here. I think that's a dose that a pile of adults need. But I want you to think about this. Every one of us, under the sound of my voice, is either represented by the 9 or represented by the 1. And I believe there should be no people on the face of this planet who are greater thanksgiving people, who are greater in worship, who are greater expressing their gratitude to the Lord than you and I. Nobody. I just want to say this really, really quick. Isn't it amazing, as parents, we pour into our kids, pour into our kids, pour into our kids, pour into our kids, pour into our kids. We run them here, we run them there, we feed them, we give them the clothes, we do the whole deal. And we do that because we love them, and we do that because we're parents. And do you remember the day when, after all of that, for years and years and years, your child turned around in the midst of all that was going on? They were getting out of the vehicle because you ran them somewhere. They get out of the vehicle. They're closing the door. They open it up, and they look and they go, by the way, thanks, Dad. Can I ask you a question? After years and years and years, and all of a sudden you get a thanks, Dad, what does that do to you? Some kids don't even do that. Even adult kids don't even do that. But there is a spirit that God gives that lands in the one that comes back and worships in thankfulness. I want to plant that in your head. We're either one of the 9 or we're one of the 1. Do you need an escort back to your seat? Probably. Jerry, could you? I'll get Jerry. Jerry, can you come in? Just keep it in low gear, would you, Jerry? I want to give you a second image. And you have seen this. We've talked about it some time ago. When you talk about the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit entering into a life, and I want to give you just one scripture. You know this off of heart. Say it out loud. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Do you really believe that? That's a revelation to get there. There's a pile even in the church who think they can do a whole pile of things without Christ. They can do it without praying. They can do it without inquiring of the Lord. They think they're pretty darn smart, right? good capability. I believe you need to have something happen in your life that brings you to a point where you realize, you know what, God, really, truly, I can't do anything. The picture that has been used for years and years, and I remember this as a brand new believer, I remember somebody held up a glove. They took a glove and they said, I want you to just observe this glove on its own. I want you to look and see what that glove can do. Now, just really quickly, speak it out. But what is that glove able to do? Just look at it right now. What can it do? Nothing. Are you convinced? Anybody else? What can it do? Huh? Pick up what? Oh, take up space. Yeah, there are people who do that, Linda. It's true. Yeah, appreciate that. Are we convinced the glove can do nothing? I want to tell you, this is a spiritual revelation. Nobody in the flesh will get this. If you to say to somebody, you can't do anything without the Lord. You can't breathe. You can't have a sane mind. You can't see. You can't hear. You can't do nothing. They would think you're crazy. Well, we need revelation. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's what happens. Here's the picture, and you know it. You take the hand and you stick it in the glove. I'm not going to do that because it'll take me a half hour to get it off. You put it inside the glove, and all of a sudden that glove lifts off of here, and you watch the glove doing all kinds of picking up stuff. You watch that glove pouring. You watch that glove writing. You watch that do all of that. You look and you go, wow, that is a very talented glove. With revelation, you go, no, that's not the glove doing it. That's a hand and the power on the inside of the glove that's doing it. That's Christ in me doing, taking me and doing through me what he did through Jesus. I want to give you a little different picture today. I don't want to use the glove. I want to use a balloon. Would you help me? What can that balloon do? Are you convinced it can do nothing? I want you to see yourself as a balloon today. That is the image we're going to work on. I want you to see yourself as a balloon. And I want you to watch this. It's not a glove going into it, but I love this picture. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam, he put him there and he was laying on the ground, and Adam was right there. What did God do in order for Adam to do what he eventually did? He breathed in him, right? Can you hold this for me for a second? I want you to imagine for a moment that that was Adam. And God came and God breathed into Adam his life. His life was on the inside of the balloon. The balloon was Adam. His life was on the inside of them. And all of a sudden, that balloon stood up, and that balloon began to do what it could never do before. Apart from Christ, Adam could do nothing. Apart from Christ, the balloon can do nothing. You fill that balloon with the breath and the life of the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden, it becomes alive. I want to tell you, there's only two types of people in this world today. One is a lifeless balloon laying on the edge of my thing, or the other one is filled with this and has the ability to do it could never do on its own. Every person is one of the two. Third image. Joshua chapter 4. We know it. We don't need to look it up. Moses died. Joshua was now put in charge. 40 years after they were told to go in and take the promised land, all of a sudden Joshua believed and Caleb believed. They were the only two who lived out of all the how many million of men. God said, Joshua, I want you to send the priests across the Jordan River and you're going to go into Jericho and you're going to take it. What did Joshua do? Sent the priests in. They went into the water. The moment they put their foot in the water, what happened? What happened to the Jordan? What happened? It divided. I want you to get the parallel. We're not going to look at it, but when Moses took his staff and put it in the Red Sea, the sucker divided. When Joshua put the priests in, all of a sudden the Jordan stopped on this side and began backing up on this side, and the whole ground became dry. You want to talk about establishing somebody as a leader? From that day on, I'll tell you, the Israelites looked at Joshua and said, this man has replaced Moses. The anointing of God is on him, and we are going to do what he says. Here's the cool thing. Before they even did that, this is what God said. Joshua, when the miracle happens and all the Israelites walk through on the other side, I want you to take 12 priests. I want you to have them go back into the river that's dry. I want you to have each priest pick up a stone. I'm sure they were much larger than this. You take that stone in the middle of the river and you pile them up in such a way that they will come outside the river. And when the water comes back, you will be able to look at that pile of 12 stones. And forever, those stones will remind you of the miracle that took place today. I want to tell you something, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Do you know that you and I have demonic help forgetting the things that God has done in our life? Some of you struggle with forgetting. Can I tell you, sometimes forgetting is not a physical thing. It is a demonic thing. The demonic helps us forget what we should remember and makes us remember the things we should forget. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? Something you did, you blew it, and it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back, and it's like we can't forget it. It just keeps coming. Who do you think does that? Let me tell you what God told Joshua. You take 12 stones. You have those priests set it up. In the middle of the river, you set them up so that from this point forward, anybody, anytime they look at those 12 stones, they'll look at them and go, I remember. I remember. I remember. Let me tell you, in this world, we need help remembering. That's part of why he gave us the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance. Remember, do it till I come back, because if you stop doing it, you're going to forget. How many of us need help remembering? Don't raise your hand. We all do. It's not an old condition. I believe remembering today is an overload condition, and I believe it's a demonic condition. 12 stones in order to remember. I want you to think about this. The Bible says the Israelites, when they went into the promised land, didn't take them very long. What was it that attributed to the Israelites falling away? And in one generation, they began sacrificing their children to pagan idols. In one generation, in less than 40 years. What does the Bible say? Why'd they do it? One thing. They forgot. They forgot what God had done. They forgot the deliverance. They forgot the miracles. They forgot God's goodness. They forgot. And as a result of forgetting, they wandered. This morning, we're going to do something that is going to help us remember. I would love to preach a sermon sometime on the benefit of Thanksgiving. I can tell you, secular, it's powerful. In the medical field, it's powerful. But it is nothing compared to what it is in the spiritual realm. Thanksgiving is a powerful spiritual weapon that God uses in our life in order to keep us in relationship with God. And can I just say this? Every time we give God thanks for something, we are magnifying God and diminishing the problem. This is what we're going to do. The kids are in here today. Not a pile of kids today, but there is some kids today. And today I am wanting all of us to move into the child mode, because we are going to do a little bit of drawing and a little bit of writing. How many of you have the gift of art? It's exactly what I thought. I would like you to do this. We're going to take just a moment. I would like you in a moment to get up. I want you to break into groups of six. If you have a family member here or you are married, I don't want you in the same group as somebody in your family. As many as possible, I would like you to go and snag a child. I'd like there to be one child in every group. They will change the entire dynamic of what that group is like. Yep, so we're going to do an NHL draft. You might have to go bribe them, take them, whatever you need to get them in your group. But I want you to get up. Six people in every group. Let's get up and do that right now. Make sure you have a little bit of space in your group. Six people. Let's go. Got to move your chairs around. Everybody's got to sit, because we're going to be doing stuff that requires sitting. Pull your chairs apart. Groups of six. This group's got a Rilla. That's awesome. This group's got a Liam. That's awesome. This group has got a Reina. That is awesome. Oh, back over in the corner. Ellie, that is awesome. All right. How's it working? This group's got Odd. That is awesome. This group has got Hayden. Hayden, that is awesome. Glad you're a part of that group. Ellie's over there. First thing I'd like you to do, I'd like you to have one person in your group. I want you to tell them what color balloon you want, and then I want one person from your group to come to the front and get a balloon for every person in your group. Go. Find out the colors and come get them. If they go, I don't care, just go get a handful, six balloons, and bring them back. Just make sure the child in your group has their own color. That is more important. All right, I would like one person from every group to come to the front, and I need you to get one Sharpie for every person in your group. If you got five, get five Sharpies. If you got six, get six Sharpies. One person come to the front and grab a Sharpie for every person. Can you get a balloon for Linda there too? Everybody needs a balloon and everybody needs a Sharpie. Everybody have a balloon? If you have a child in your group, I would like somebody to blow their balloon up. If they can't do it, if they can do it, blow your balloon up. I would like it as big as you can get it, your balloon. As big as you can get it, every person. If you need help, ask someone to blow it up for you. Otherwise, you can blow it up. And I'm just watching to see how your lungs are doing. That's what I'm doing here. What we're going to do is this. Here is the image that I have. Can I borrow your balloon, Raina, for a second? At the end of our time together, there is going to be about 21 things you either write or draw on here. We're going to move fairly quickly. Wouldn't it be awesome if this was hung right above our bed, hanging down, so when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you see is your Thanksgiving balloon? How many of you are open to try that? One. Okay, that's great. Flo, two. That is awesome. What? Okay. But here's what I'm wanting. At the end of today, you're going to have about 20 or 21 things written and drawn on here. Some of you are going to draw a picture when we talk about what we're going to do. Some of you, your creativity will be as far as just writing a word down. If that's what you do, that's fine. This is going to be a balloon of remembrance until it pops at your home. Every time you look at it, you are going to go, God, I am so thankful for all of these things that you have done in my life. This is our balloon of remembrance. All right. First thing, and I want us to do this before we do anything else, I'd like you to take your balloon and on the very top, not the stem part, but on the top, I would like you to draw a cross. So if it's hanging down from the roof, the first thing you see when you look at it is the cross. However you want to draw it, make it thick, make it whatever. As believers, we know that the cross, when we look at it, our life would be nothing without it. That is the first image I'd like you to see in your balloon, is Jesus, what you did on the cross of Calvary, I could not be more thankful. Make your cross on the top. However you want to do it, so when you look at it, that is what you will remember. Everybody got your cross? All right. I am going to ask you, and I just want you to raise your hand and let me know. I'm going to ask you some of the different things that we are able to be thankful for in our life. We're going to do one at a time, and when we get them, I'm going to have you draw something or write something on your balloon. Now, make sure that you can get about 20 different things on there, so don't make one thing so huge you can't get anything else on. Let's begin. One thing to be thankful for. Who can... Food. Let's write it however you want to do it. Food on your balloon. You look at it. I am thankful for God's provision of food in my life, especially in a world where there are pals who don't have it. If all you have to do is write food, you do it. But if you want to draw your favorite food, you draw it. All right. Somebody give me another one. health. However you draw it, you draw health on your balloon when you look at it. By the way, just hold up one of your hands. If you are thankful for the health that God has given you, just hold your hand up, would you? Amen. I'll tell you. All right, somebody got another one? Family. Some of you will have to draw that by faith. Family. God, I am thankful. How many of you are drawing something for family? Yep. When I thought about this one, do you know in the back of some vehicles, they have all the little stick people that are in the back, the mom, the dad, the two kids, and the dog. All right, somebody give me another one. Give me another one. Thankful for freedom. That is a great one. Would you write it down? What do you need to do for freedom? I don't know what the picture is, but whatever it is, you when you look at it, let it remind you of the freedom that we enjoy. Freedom. Anybody got a picture of freedom? Anybody write something down for freedom? I mean, draw something? Yeah, what'd you do, Sam? Chains breaking. Oh, that is good. Hey? Anybody else? Huh? Praise, like this, freedom, that is good. Everett, freedom to go to church, that is good. Who blew it? Go, go, go. Yep, here it is. Sorry for the pink. Okay, give me another one. Give me another one. Huh? Strength. Strength. If you don't know how to spell it, S-T-R-E. Oh, you know how to spell it. Praise the Lord for strength. I'll tell you, something we take for granted and we recognize, boy, God, apart from you. Give me another one. Salvation. That is a good one. Write her down. Draw a picture. Salvation. All right. I would like you to write down a couple other things. I would like you to write down, are you, in the midst of all that's going on in the world, are you thankful to God for the country that we live in? In spite of our political, I'll tell you, Canada is still ranked to be one of the best countries in the world to live in. Would you put that on your balloon? I am thankful for the country that God has put me in, however you want to write it, however you want to picture it. If it was me, I would draw a flag. That is what I would do. I would draw a flag. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have had or have now a pet? You can include a chicken if you have it. How many of you have a pet? How many of you are thankful for the pet that God has given you or had? Absolutely. I want you to write down, thankful for a pet. If you've had one, you can put its name, you can draw it. If I had the time, I would draw a moose. That's what I would put on my balloon. I would draw a moose, but you don't have to draw what I draw. Just put on there when you look at it, how you are, what you are thankful for. All right, I don't know how you're going to draw this. Can I just ask, do any of you know people who just, man, getting a laugh out of them is like having an enema. Any of you know any people like that? Yeah, don't raise your hand, Josh. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. How many of you are thankful for laughter? Yes, I'd like you to write that down somewhere. How do you draw that somehow? Laughter. Thankful for laughter. In fact, what does the scripture say about laughter? It is good for the heart. It is like medicine for our being. When we laugh, good things, God designed for good stuff to be coming into our bodies. Laughter. I want to ask you a question, and I'd like to see your hands on this one. When you think back over this last year, how many of you actually are thankful that there were angels that were watching over and protecting you in the midst of what was going on. How many of you were thankful for angels? Absolutely. Would you write that down in there? Ministering spirits that have been given to us to protect us, to watch over us, to minister to us. There is not one non-believer who is thankful for angels. I'll tell you that. You got to be redeemed to know that we got them. All right. Question. How many of you have ever done anything wrong that you needed forgiveness for? Just raise your hand, would you? If your hand isn't up there, you're lying. That is something you need forgiveness for. How many of you are thankful for forgiveness, literally? I'll tell you. Would you write that or draw that on your, I don't know how you're going to do it, but when you look at it, you go, God, I am so thankful that you have forgiven me, washed me clean, you have made me holy. I could not be more thankful for the soap of your blood in my life. What'd you draw for forgiveness? I want to know. Some of you. What'd you draw? Josh. Erica Kirk. You drew her. Look at you. Where she goes, I forgive you. Wow, that is good. Two times deep, Josh. Two times. Anybody else? How'd you draw forgiveness? Praying hands, that is good, Juanita. How many of you just wrote forgiveness? Oh, God, would you release an anointing of creativity over our balloon group today? Got a question? How many of you, when you were a non-believer, how many of you just engaged in worship? How many of you? Probably the wrong thing, right? How many of you are thankful for worship? In our relationship with the Lord. How many of you are thankful? Absolutely. Would you put it on your balloon? I am thankful for worship. I don't know how you're going to draw it. For this next portion, while you're drawing in your group, I would like you to take turns and I'm going to have you share a little bit of the topic that I'm going to talk to you about. And actually, if we can have that music right down because we're going to talk now, I would like you, how many of you are so thankful for the friends that God has brought into your life, friend or friends, plural. Absolutely. Would you draw that or write that on your balloon? I would like you in your group. I'd like you just to go around, and I would like you to share with your group who your friends are and what you're thankful about them. Just take 30 seconds each and just share your thankfulness about your friends. Let's go. Make sure every child is a part of that. While you're drawing, let's share that in your group. Let's go. Can I have your attention? Did everybody get around? All right, finish this verse off for me, guys. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a... Can I ask you a question? How many of you are thankful that God has given you a sound mind? I'll tell you, would you draw that? I don't know how you're going to draw it. Would you write it for you creative ones? You write it down, sound mind. I'll tell you, that is something in our world. If we are not on medication and if we are not getting therapy because we have a sound mind, we are able to be thankful for that. Is it dead? It went dry? Okay. Sound mind. Did any of you draw something? Any of you? Yeah, Michelle, what'd you draw? You drew your face with Jesus on your forehead? I like that. That is good. Somebody else? What'd you draw? Sound mind. Huh? A brain. Praise the Lord under the anointing. Just sprinkle some blood on it. Renita, would you? Anybody else? Huh? What did you do? Oh, that is good. She drew her face, and on the forehead is the cross. That is awesome. Okay. I would like you to write this one down, and when you are draw it, and I would like you to share in your group, just a question, how many of you are thankful for your church family? Would you write that down somehow? You may just want to write a church, and then I would like you in your circle, 30 seconds. Would you tell those in your group what you are thankful for concerning your church family? Let's share that with each other. Let's hear it. All right, did everybody get a chance? Can I have your attention? We don't talk about this very often, but I'll tell you, the absence of it would make us very thankful for the presence of them. How many of you are thankful for our police force, for our fire department, for our military? I'll tell you, we enjoy a freedom because of them in our life. I don't know if any of you remember when the police went on strike in Chicago. This is going way back. 24 hours, that city was virtually destroyed. Would you put on your balloon thankfulness for those who keep the law, they keep the peace, they keep us safe, they stand on the wall so we can be free? However you want to draw it, however you want to write it. This one will be easy. How many of you have ever gone away on holiday, or you stayed in a hotel room, and when you got back home and you climbed into your bed, you went, I am so thankful for my bed. Would you just write that on there? If you are thankful for your bed, would you write that? Because that bed represents sleep. There are a pile of people who struggle sleeping in their life. When we have a bed that we enjoy and we sleep, that is something to be thankful for. Draw your bed. In your group, only 10 seconds each. I want you to just... Anybody need to go to the washroom? We're all good. Who was that? Who was that? Was that Brother Richard again? Brother, here you go. There's a pink one for you. Really, in your group, really, just quickly, describe what is good about your bed. 10 seconds only. Just tell them. Tell what is good about your bed. Tell your group. 10 seconds each. How many of you have ever described what you're thankful about your bed for to anybody else before? Just raise your hand, would you? You've ever done that before? Told people about your bed? Well, now you have, okay? Now you can say you've done it. Would you write this one down? And I'll write it, but I believe as believers, I am so thankful for the Word of God. I am so thankful for my Bible. Would you draw the picture? Would you write it on there somewhere? When we went to Africa, I will tell you, they call the Word of God bread, and they starve for bread all over the world. We took over 1,000 with us on the one trip and handed them out to people who were starving for the Word of God. I'll tell you, we need to be thankful, and we are, for the Word. One last one. Everybody got that? How many of you actually drew a Bible? How many of you drew a Bible? Wow, creativity is growing. That is awesome. If we say we're thankful for balloons, could you draw a balloon on your balloon? Could I get 100% of people? I would like 100% of people to draw a balloon on your balloon. I'd like you to say, at least I drew one picture. A balloon on your balloon. All right. How many of you drew a balloon? Raise your hand. I want to see every hand. Every. Did you guys draw balloons? Yes, good. Every over there, everybody drew a balloon? Jerry, did you draw a balloon? Draw a balloon? Yeah. Okay. Are you saying I'm full of hot air? Is that what you're saying? Ellie, you drew a hot air balloon? That is awesome. That is creative. Okay, this last one. And I would like you to take time and share with people around in your group 1 minute each. The Bible says this, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. How many of you are thankful for who God made you, the person you are, your personality, the gifts, the way you look, thankful to God for who you are? I would like you to draw a self-portrait on your balloon first. When the self-portrait is done, I would like you to show your group how you drew you. And then I would like you to share with your group what it is that you like about how God made you. How you like you. Thankful for you. I'm thankful for me, God. So draw yourself first, show your group, and then share how you are thankful for you. This is giving God glory for the work he has done. Take a minute each, how you are thankful. One last thing. Don't need to share, just need to draw the picture, or you creative types, write it down. How many of you are thankful that the rapture is coming soon? Would you write that down? Would you draw that on your picture? Whether soon is a day or soon is 100 years, soon. We are going to meet him in the air. Regardless of what the New Age tells us, our feet are going to lift off the ground and we're going to see him and be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Isn't that beautiful? All right, when you have rapture drawn or written, I would like you to give every person in your group a hug. Please don't pop your balloon while you're hugging. If you can put your chairs back in order, then we are going to have the offering close with a blessing, and then a few quick announcements. Make sure you hug every person in your group. Whenever you see a balloon someplace, what does a balloon represent? Sadness or happiness? Happiness. I want to encourage you. I encourage you to take your balloon home. I encourage you, if you can, to stick it on from the ceiling down, so when you wake up in the morning and go to bed at night, the first thing that hits you is your thankful balloon. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how long until it shrivels. But I will tell you, I'm praying that we can be triggered to be thankful over and over and over. And if you want to add to that balloon, or if you need to have a plethora of balloons because there's so much you're thankful for, look at it and smile and go, Father, thank you. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer before we receive our tithe and offering? Father, today, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done in our life. Thank you for the hope that we have as we look forward to the future. Thank you that we know the end of the book and we win. I am so thankful that you have chosen us to be alive during this time in history. God, what an amazing thing. And I am so thankful you have stuffed us full of your light. When we step into this dark world, we shine and shine. God, those who sit in darkness have seen a great light that you put in us. So, Father, today, we don't ever want it said of us that we were one of the nine who never came back. We are the one who left the nine. We run back to you. We acknowledge the goodness in our life from you, and we worship you. Our life is a statement of worship. Father, saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And so today, as we give back just a portion of what you have given, it is a statement of our love for you and our thankfulness for you. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the creativity on the balloons, and thank you for the words that weren't as creative, but they will remember.